Well, we talked last week about how terrible things are getting, and unfortunately that is the life we live today. But I wanted to let you know in today's sermon that do not lose hope. There is still hope out there. God is still with us. And so we're going to talk about hope and faith and those good things today. I do hope that those of you that have email and are on the prayer chain have been getting the emails that I've been sending in regards to what's happening with the church. And I will try to, every time I get something, get those out to you so that you can kind of follow what's going on. And I'm afraid, like I mentioned before, we're looking at a separation of the Methodist Church. I'm going to be reading from 2 Corinthians 5, 1 through 10. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. If indeed, when we have taken it off, we will not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan under our burden, because we wish not to be unclothed, but to be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we do have confidence, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For all of us must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each may receive recompense for what has been done in the body, whether good or evil. You ever noticed how some people just have that bad day and you just can't avoid it? There's a lady named Alice, bless her heart. Back in 1957, she was at a baseball game, and Richie Ashburn, the center fielder for the Philadelphia Phillies, hit a foul ball into the stands and hit that poor girl in the head. Well, as they were putting her on the stretcher and getting ready to carry her out there, Richie hit another foul ball and hit her again. Sometimes we have days like that. You just can't win. You just can't win for losing, as they say. And that's just how life is. It's something that we deal with, because we know we have hope. Pastor Alan Carr tells about an advertisement in a newspaper in New York City quite a few years ago. It was an ad put in there by the Hayden Planetarium. And it was an invitation for anyone who would like to make the first journey to another planet to submit an application. Well, within a few days, they had 18,000 people apply. So they gave these applications to a panel of psychologists who reviewed those applications and determined that the vast majority of those who had applied wanted to start a new life on another planet because they were discouraged by life on this one. And I wonder if any of us kind of feel that way today. We look at our lives and we get discouraged sometimes, and sometimes we would like to leave it behind and start new. But the problem is, we're still here. You can't escape your environment. And so we kind of would like to start over, like to start fresh on another planet maybe. Charlie Brown, I love Charlie Brown. I love the Peanuts. You've probably figured that out by now. And if you haven't seen the Peanuts movie, you've got to see it. We watched it last night. That is a neat little movie. Anyway, Charlie Brown was talking to Linus one day, and he says, "Sometimes I feel like I want to run away from everything." Well, overhearing this conversation, Snoopy thought to himself, "I remember having that feeling once when I was at the Daisy Hill Puppy Farm. I climbed over the fence, but I was still in this world." And that's the problem we have with trying to run away from things. You can never run away from your problems. We have to face those problems that we have head on. And we can face them head on because we have Christ in our life. And because we have hope and faith. And we know things will turn out. psychology professor was giving a test to his students one day. And one of the questions on the test was, what would you call somebody who paces back and forth, screaming at the top of their lungs 1 minute, and then sits in a chair and weeps uncontrollably the next? And one of the students answered, a basketball coach. Well, I know it's kind of rough to be a coach, but I didn't think it was quite that bad, even though you watch some of them on TV and they're up 1 minute screaming and the next minute they're down like this. So maybe it is. And if you look at some of the famous basketball coaches, that's kind of how it is, chewing on towels and screaming and just getting all upset. So maybe that is a really rough position. And it's kind of like Paul, St. Paul, bless his heart. He had all kinds of trouble in his life. So many things happened to him. He was persecuted, shipwrecked, beaten, thrown in prison. Those inside the church, some didn't like him. Those outside the church, some didn't like him. He had it rough. But he always hung in there. He stayed with it because he had hope and faith in Christ. Larry Olson wrote a book called Outdoor Surviving Skills. And in this book, he talks about this man who had been without food and water for several days. His lips were parched and bleeding. His tongue was swollen, his legs were bruised, and his feet were raw. Some of his bones were almost peeking through the skin as he dragged himself through the desert. He scraped from the rocks, and the blowing sand had scoured his back, and he'd had insect bites and the sun beating down on him. And as he crawled along, he went up over this little rise, propped himself up on one of his bleeding elbows, and looked across that burning wasteland, and he says, you know, few days like this and I might get discouraged. That's having a good attitude. That's having hope. That's knowing that you're going to be okay despite all these problems that we might have. Paul never got discouraged. Paul always had faith in God. So much so, if we go back a chapter in 2 Corinthians to chapter 4, Paul tells us, therefore we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is not seen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Paul had that kind of attitude. And I guess if you look at it from what happened to Paul, if I got knocked off of a horse, made blind, and was talked to by God through a brilliant light, I'd probably have all kinds of faith too. But I hope for us, we don't have to be knocked off of a horse to have that kind of faith. We should have that kind of faith simply because we know God exists, we know there is hope, and Christ is with us. We should have that kind of faith. And we shouldn't have to be knocked over to have it. We see what's going around us today, and it is discouraging. Especially things over the past couple of weeks within the church. Not just outside of the church. Those things have been pretty bad too. The killings in Europe and the killings here in the country and police officers being innocently shot just because they're police officers. But within the church we are seeing just as much turmoil, which we talked about last week, that has not been resolved. And I just pray that God is with us and the right decisions are made. Paul talks about how our outer nature is wasting away. And sometimes the problems we face, the discouragement, takes its toll physically and emotionally and spiritually. It can really bring you down if you let it bring you down. And it's been said that if no one knows the trouble you've seen, you've had a facelift. We all face trouble. There's no getting around it. If anybody walks up to you and says, you know, I've never had a bit of trouble in my life. I've had this fantastic life. Everything's been great. And boy, have I had a good time. I think you look that person square in the face and say, you're a liar. Because we've all had problems in our lives. You can't avoid it. It's life. It's how we live. But we have to maintain that faith. In The Fiddler on the Roof, the musical, there's a character named Tevye. And he has this running dialogue with God. And he gives God credit for good things that happened to him, but he also laments the things that went wrong. But in one scene, his horse goes lame, and you see him sitting discouraged on the side of the road with this lame horse. And he looks up at God, and he says, I can't understand it. He says, when you punish me when I am bad, or my wife because she talks too much, or my daughter when she wants to go off and marry a Gentile, what have you got against my horse? Some of us can identify with Tevye. It's something we don't understand sometimes. No matter what happened to Paul, he was always able to roll with the punches. And sometimes bad things happen to those around us, those loved ones, family members, our best friend. Sometimes things happen, and we can't blame God for the bad things. Things just happen sometimes. And it's not like he's punishing us through somebody else. I don't believe he works that way. And that's kind of what Tevye was asking. There's a man named Jimmy Valvano, who was a coach for many years, died of cancer back in 92. He was given an award, and he gave a speech at this award ceremony put on by ESPN. And he was the first recipient of the Arthur Ashe Courage and Humanitarian Award. And in this speech, he announced the creation of the V Foundation for Cancer Research. It was an organization dedicated to finding a cure for cancer. He announced that the foundation's motto would be, don't give up. Don't ever give up. And that was certainly true of him and his coaching method. And while he was giving this speech, all of a sudden, up on the teleprompter, popped this thing up that says, you've got 30 seconds left. So he stops and looks at the crowd and he said, they got that screen up there flashing 30 seconds. Like, I care about that screen. I got tumors all over my body and I'm worried about some guy in the back telling me I've got 30 seconds left. He said to me, there are three things we should do every day. And we should do them every day of our lives. Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. And number three is you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. He said, but think about it. If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. And that's a very full day. You do that 7 days a week and you are going to have something special. His memorable acceptance speech became legendary. He closed by saying, cancer can take away all of my physical abilities. It cannot touch my mind. It cannot touch my heart. And it cannot touch my soul. And those three things are going to carry on forever. I thank you and God bless you all. He could have very easily been paraphrasing what St. Paul told us in chapter 4. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. Paul's confidence was found in the resurrection of Christ. Paul's confidence was found in his faith in God and Christ and in the Holy Spirit. He did not fear anything because he didn't need to. Because he knew Christ was with him. It's not like the story of Sleeping Hollow where Ichabod Crane was wooing this young school teacher and his competition didn't like it too much. So he dressed up as the headless horseman like the legend and scared Ichabod Crane. And Ichabod Crane was so scared, he didn't even turn around. He ran off and they never saw him again. When if he'd have just stopped and thought for a minute and faced up to that fear, he would have realized there was nothing to be afraid of. And that's how we should approach life. Don't run from your fears. Face your fears. Know that if God gets you there, God will get you through it. God helps us through these things. Preacher Vance Havner talks about how we have different kind of days. We have those mountaintop days, as he refers to them. Those are days where everything is going very well and the world looks bright and everything's happy and we're grateful for those mountaintop days. But truthfully, they don't do much for us spiritually. Because if you had days like that all the time, you wouldn't learn to survive in life. And then he says, you've had ordinary days. Those are those days when we just go through our humdrum everyday tasks and we just deal with life, whether we're lifted up or depressed or whatever. It's just the day-to-day routine. And as we grow older, those days are kind of reassuring. When you're young, those days are kind of boring. You wish you had something to do. And as you grow older, those ordinary days, you're thankful for those days because nothing is coming at you. You're just living your life. It's not the mountaintop. You're just living your life. And you're thankful for those days. But then there are the dark days. Those days when we trudge heavily through confusion and depression and doubt and despair. And sometimes those days string into weeks and months. And we've all experienced things like that, I'm sure. But those days tend to be valuable in a way because they help us to spiritually grow. Those days help us to realize our need for God. Those days help us to think about our faith and realize there is hope at the end of that. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. And no, it's not a train coming from the other direction. There is light out there. There's a painter named John Sargent who painted this little painting of roses. Beautiful painting. Probably the best thing he'd ever done. It was small, but it was perfect. And he was offered high prices for this painting and refused to sell it because it reminded him how good an artist he was. Whenever he got in that situation where he was feeling down and losing his confidence a little bit, he would look at that little painting and realize he didn't need to be discouraged because he did have the ability to do what he does. And we have to be that way sometimes. We need God to remind us who we are and what we are capable of. To remind us that there is hope. That we don't have to worry. We don't have to live in fear. We simply have to have faith. Back when they were building the palace in Tehran, Iran, many, many years ago, the architect had designed it such that in the entryway on the walls, he was going to hang mirrors. Well, when the mirrors arrived, they were shipped to him from some other place. When the mirrors arrived, they were broken, all of them. Didn't know what he was going to do. He thought, well, maybe I can just throw them away and get some others, or not sure. But then it dawned on him, wait a minute. He took a hammer and started breaking up the pieces of the mirrors that were left into littler pieces. And he started taking those little pieces and gluing them up on the wall, and they were in a random pattern. All the pieces were different shapes and sizes, and he stuck these all up on the walls, this broken pieces of mirror. And it was brilliant. It shined. It was like a prism, the light going in different directions. And one of the visitors to this palace made the comment that it was broken to be more beautiful. And that's how it is with us. That's those dark days. We are broken to be more beautiful. That's where we learn. It's been said, that God will use our mess as a message and our tests as testimony. So when we go through those dark days, it makes us better able to understand life. It makes us better able to help others understand what's going on in their life. It helps us bond to one another and love each other and care for each other because we understand, hey, you're having the same problem I'm having. Richard Gribble wrote about an old man who he was in the habit of going to this hospital, and he would read the Gospels to the patients. He would try to teach them the Gospel. Well, he was having problems reading one day, so he went to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor examined his eyes and said, I hate to tell you, but you are going blind. Within the next year or two, you are not going to be able to see anymore. Well, he quit coming to the hospital. And everybody thought that because of that discouraging news, he had just given up and gone on. Well, about a year after that, he showed up at the hospital one day, and they asked him, you know, where have you been? We've missed you. We thought maybe you'd given up. He said, no. He said, when I found out I was going blind, I decided it was time to sit down with the Gospels and memorize every word so that when I lost my sight, I could still go into the hospital and I could still teach the patients the Gospels. He hadn't given up. He decided to take what was happening to him and make it work for him. If you've ever seen the movie The Book of Eli, that's kind of what it's about. As he travels across the country with this big Bible, and you don't figure out until the end of the movie that it's all in Braille. Nobody can read it. And eventually, right before he gets to where he's going, this sanctuary where they're collecting books, somebody steals it from him and wounds him really bad, and he can't get it back. But he had been going through this Bible all during this journey across the country till he knew it, word for word, from Genesis to Revelation. So when he got to this sanctuary, even though he was dying from his wounds, he laid there and recited the Bible to somebody who wrote it down, transcribed it. So they finally had a copy of the St. James Bible as recited by Eli. He didn't let any of this get him down. He had a mission. God had a plan for him. And he fulfilled his mission for God. He got them a written copy of the Bible. Things like that happen. In our dark days, things can look up. A few years ago, Bobby McFerrin had a hit single, pop song, called Don't Worry, Be Happy. Everybody probably remembers that. I see smiles. Don't worry, be happy now. And that was a neat little song. But he said that it just seemed like something that made common sense. It was common wisdom for humanity. And that worry is counterproductive. And worry takes away your energy. And that you need to turn it into something positive, and that is to put a smile on your face and say, well, try to take it a little more lightly. But what you might not know about Bobby McFerrin is he once considered becoming an Episcopal priest. And when he wrote the song, he said he was experiencing a period of stress and tension. And there were things going on in his life that he wasn't happy with. And the song was written just as much for himself as it was everybody else. Don't worry, be happy. It'd be nice if it's that easy. And it can be that easy if you just get the right attitude. Don't worry, be happy. And that should be our witness to the unbelieving world around us. That should be a sign of our full love for Christ, our trust in Christ, our faith, and our hope in our future. Amen.